I don't think there's anything more fun, and I think it's an okay word to use, than when we do baptisms. We get to hear all kind of stories. We get to, in a sense, kind of get a snapshot of someone's life. And God always shows up and reminds us that he's really, really busy. And we get the curtain pulled back sometimes. And what we've seen today is a picture of the unique mission Jesus Church has. There's a lot of things we get to do. We get to do feeding projects. We do them locally. We do them internationally. We get to help provide for needs that people have that are struggling. We have a counseling center here that helps people navigate relationship issues. And all, I mean, there's all kind of things we get to do, but the one thing that's unique that no other organization does, and that is introducing people to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we can never afford to lose sight of that. We can stay very busy, we can do all kind of things, but we need to make sure that we don't leave the most important things out. Even when we'll do big food projects, we try to do it so that others know that it was inspired by our relationship with Jesus Christ. And I think you could see this in these stories. God is at work around us, and we get to be a part of it. So I'm going to take a few minutes. I want us to think of some next steps, and I want you to be thinking, what might God be saying to me about a next step I should take? From something that's happened today, something that he's been stirring up inside of me. I want to read to you a quick, this is a snippet of a message that one of Jesus' disciples gave. When Jesus was executed, everyone split. They were scared. They didn't know what was going to happen. They figured if they'd taken Jesus, they're going to take us too. So they went into hiding. When Jesus was resurrected, there was a group of people who were literally transformed from cowards and hiding to courageously standing and telling people the truth. One of them was Peter. Peter, if you read his story, you'll find that he was, when Jesus was arrested, he denied even knowing Jesus at all because it's going to cost me. And then after Jesus' resurrection, Peter recognized he really is God. He is the one that I should devote my whole life to. And so he stands up in the same place where they had arrested Jesus and executed him. He stands up there, and this is what he said. He said, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children, to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord God." And this idea of being called by God, God is called out. He's calling out, "I want a relationship with you." Those that respond are literally the called out ones. The word church in the New Testament comes from a Greek word, ekklesia, which means those that have been called out. This idea, God's made this invitation. If I respond to it, I am now part of his church. I'm part of his family. I have this new life. And Peter, without any question, is challenging those, and especially those that had cheered for Jesus' crucifixion. He's saying, you have work to do, and God's offered you something, but you need to step up. And so somehow we need to step into this kind of thinking and think, so what are the next steps I have? What does God want from me so that my life can align with the work he's doing and my life can really, really matter? You heard some of the people with their stories that they were trying to make life work all different kinds of ways. And all of us do. We're all just trying to figure out, how do I make this life work? And some of them we do are kind of okay things. Some of them are really, really bad things. But anything that's not tied into honoring the Creator is going to cause me trouble. So I'm going to list out a few things that are possible next steps for all of us to choose. The first one would be this. Have you ever accepted Jesus as your Savior and leader? You've watched some people, different ages and stages of life. You've heard them tell their story. Do you have one? Is there a point you could look back on and say, I know that I wasn't a follower of Christ, and now I know I am. It may be a point in time like mine, Or it could be over a process of time. But have you made that clear? Some people get real excited and they don't mind the church part. They're glad to be a part of things that are making a difference and all that. But when it comes down to, have I really committed my life to follow Jesus Christ? They have a big question mark. And if you have accepted him, have you been baptized since then? Because the thing about baptism, it's a way of publicly saying, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. It doesn't make you a Christian. It's just a way of displaying publicly that you are. If you've never accepted Christ, I want to encourage you. It may be that you've got questions about it there, and there's no stupid questions. We would love to help you with it. We do all kind of things here where people can come and ask their questions and discuss them and have dialogue about it. If you're one of those, I'm not sure, I don't really know where I stand, don't fake it. Look into it. Do some research. There's a communication card and a seat back in front of you. We'd be glad to help you with it. You can email us at info@newhope.org. We would love to talk to you about it. No one going to pressure you. No one going to try to hound you. But it's really important. If there is this Creator God and he sent his son to come and save us, we ought to know where we stand with that and what he offers. And this thing about baptism, I've talked to some people that are just really nervous about getting baptized because they're like, I don't know, that's pretty public. It is. But you're among friends. The first thing you hear when you get out of the water is people cheering for you. It's a kind of a picture of what happens when someone becomes a follower of Jesus. I think all of heaven has a party. But if I'm unwilling to be baptized, if I'm unwilling to identify publicly like that, then I'm going to live maybe kind of a secret Christian life. And God doesn't know anything about being secret. There's no secret agents in his kingdom. He wants us to be open. He wants us to be real. He wants us to be honest. Does that mean that there aren't times when it can be scary? And of course. That's one of the reasons we have churches, so that we can be a part of a family. We can be part of a team. So I want to encourage you. A next step, if you're not made a commitment to follow Jesus and you've got questions, we'd be glad to help you with that. If you have accepted Christ and you've not been baptized, we'd be glad to help you with that. We have another one coming up in a few months. So that's the first one. Another next step could be, how is God challenging you to join in the work that he is doing? Our role is to be his show and tell. He wants our lives to be lived in a way, not, of course, not perfect, but progressing to where people can see something good about him in us. One of the reasons for asking forgiveness when you mess up is so that God's reputation isn't tarnished. One of the reasons for living with integrity in the job, at home, and in school is so people will see something that might remind them of this good God, this God that honors integrity and truthfulness. How is God asking you to step up in your home or in your neighborhood, work or school, among extended family members or others that you run into, maybe at the stores you go to? Are you living a life that honors him? Or would people be surprised that you claim to be a follower of Christ? Are they seeing something in you that is good? And then are you using your words to explain, this is why? Not too long ago, I had someone thank me for doing something kind. And I said, well, I got to tell you, I'm not naturally very kind. But there's this God that took me as I was and has been working on me to help me become more kind, more gentle, more forgiving, more loving. And I'd love to tell you about him. You know, this idea of being show and tell means that we get to earn the right with people around us to tell them about this God that is so good, this God that has all kind of good things in store for us. And this next step, I'm going to be his show and tell, but am I praying about opportunities like that? At my work, in my home, and in school, wherever I am I looking for ways that I can identify as a follower of Jesus, not in an arrogant, prideful way, but in a way that could open the door for others to maybe ask some questions and want to find out more? We have this chance to live lives that are intriguing rather than infuriating. We have a chance to be light in the darkness rather than just blow torches. And that's what God's put us here for. And there's not been many times I've seen growing up in America that there's been such a divisive kind of culture that we have. And we get to do something different in that. That could open up opportunities for people to say, I'd like something different. Tell me about this God that you follow. Tell me about what is it like to know him? And would he accept somebody like me? Does he really know how to forgive? Because I've not seen much forgiveness. I've not seen much grace. You know, we have a chance to live this life where we can tell the truth, but we do it in a loving way. Not leaving one of those out. But telling the truth, but doing it in a way that is a benefit and a gift to the people around us. So, how is God challenging me? What is he telling me today about being someone that shows and tells about his goodness and his grace and his mercy and what he offers everyone? Specifically to parents, you've seen the impact of families here. Where parents have introduced their children by their example and by their words and by their involvement in church, where the kids have said, I want that too. Parents, are you creating an environment in your home, and grandparents, an environment in your home where kids are going to be able to see the reality of a good, gracious God, a God that is holy and God that does have, it promotes justice, but a God that's also forgiving. A God that is also very, very kind and offers second, third, and many chances. Do you live your life surrendered to him in a way that they're going to say, I want that too? What's happened so much in our culture has been that families either get so busy with work that they don't pay attention to their kids, or they wrap their whole life around their kids, and the kids grow up thinking they're it. That's not the way God wants. In Mark 10, we have an interesting story of Jesus and kids. It says, one day some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. But Jesus' disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. When Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with his disciples. We don't see Jesus angry very much. But he was angry this time because they were keeping the kids away from getting to know him and to be near him. Don't stop them. For the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. Then he took the children in his arm, placed his hands on their heads, and blessed them. There's something about childlike trust that is really, really precious and should never, ever be ignored or abused. And what Jesus is saying is, I love these children. You need to also. And I want you as adults, I want you to learn something from these children because they're not naturally suspicious or cynical. They grow into that. You have a chance to show them something, parents, that is good and something real and something really, really valuable. The most important classroom a child ever has is their home. And whether you're a parent or a grandparent or an aunt and uncle, you have a chance to influence in a way that could affect multiple generations. How are you doing? We have child dedications here, and what we do is the parents will come and they're learning how they can better be an influence for their children, and they're asking God to be their partner. Actually, they're asking to be God's partner. And them raising their children to understand the one that created them, the one that loves them, and the one that came and gave his life for them. The fourth thing, and I'll close with this, is to have an open-handed, humble prayer that God would use you and me. Just to get you, maybe you're not really sure, what is God maybe saying to me? I don't really know, but I do want to hear. And I'm going to give you a handful of some things to think about. One is, what does God want you to do right now? And I want you to be as specific as you can. Maybe write it down. It could be that there's someone in your life that you know is not a follower of Jesus, and he's been encouraging you to speak up, but you're scared to. Or maybe you're thinking, oh, they would never listen to me. I'm damaged goods. A lot of family systems can be this way. What is one step of courage you could take to show and tell about your faith and about what Jesus is doing in your life and what he could offer them? Those of you that are partners at New Hope, you just got an email about renewing your partnership. Partners, we use partnership here instead of membership. We believe it speaks more of our sleeves rolled up rather than just perks that you come with membership. And we're doing something together that matters. These baptisms are a picture of some of that. If you got the renewal, I renewed mine Friday. It took me less than 30 seconds. And if any of you come up to me and say, well, I just don't have time to do that email renewal thing, let me see your calendar. I guarantee I can find you 30 seconds. And if you'd like to find out, I had someone ask me earlier about becoming a partner. We have the partnership class. We'll explain it. You can do it online, or we'll have a class that you can come to. The other thing is I want to encourage you to do is to be praying for our pastor search team. I am going to be retiring sometime, and we want to find the next leader here. Do we have a picture of the pastor search team? We've got a great group of folks that are going to represent us and looking for and vetting candidates when we get to. We haven't got candidates yet. This team just met last Sunday for an orientation with the group we've hired to consult with us. These are great people, and they cover a wide variety of our church, and what we want to do is be praying for them, with them, that they'll have wisdom, they'll have discernment, they'll have some clear understanding, and they'll be in unity as they walk through this. This is the first time we've done it. We have technically never hired a pastor here. I just started off. I've literally never been hired, so it's a little weird, but so I do get a paycheck sometimes, so that's good. But this is new, and what we want to do this well, not just for us, but we want to do it as a model that other churches could say, that's a way to do it that's good. Not the way, but a way. And we want to do it well. We want Jesus to be honored. He has picked somebody already. They just don't know it yet. What we want to do is research, and we want to learn everything we can along the way. So pray for this team that they'd have wisdom, they'd have discernment, and they'll work well together and represent us and anyone else that watches what we do along the way. God has given us this awesome privilege of being his church. Let's return the favor to him and give him our absolute best without holding back. Let's pray together. God, we say sometimes that we know we need you, but sometimes we live as if we don't. Today we've had this picture remembering what it's like for people that have crossed this line of faith and they've genuinely accepted Jesus as their Savior and leader. For those of us that have done that, help us to be awed by the miracle of it. You came for us. You came to do for us what we could never have in a million lifetimes done for ourselves. And you've given us this privilege to help others find you too. So for those of us that know you, light a fire in us to show and tell, to be involved, to get connected, to make it a priority to be part of your church and to show those around us how valuable and important it is. And for anyone here that doesn't yet know you, I pray that you would spark something in them to want to look, to want to investigate. And God, I know that anyone that genuinely asks for help, you will give it to them. We love you, and we're just grateful to you in Christ's name. Amen.